Children, you can head off to Children's Church. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear. You have to forgive me if I sound a little nasally this morning. I managed to catch a cold this week. It's kind of a strange statement, right? I caught a cold. Sounds like you've been chasing it for a while. Yeah, I finally caught that cold I've been looking for. But it has nothing to do with the message, by the way, just something that's kind of on my mind. But it's 2019. It's a new year, right? Where does the time go? I mean, it seems like just 6 days ago it was 2018. Yeah. But time does go fast. It's 2019, it's a new year, and this is a time of year that we say goodbye to 2018 and look at a clean slate for the coming year. Now, I was going to begin today by sharing a little bit about New Year's resolutions, but I made a New Year's resolution to not talk about New Year's resolutions. I think by saying that, I actually broke my New Year's resolution, right? Didn't last very long. Well, that's the resolution that I made, which is probably better than years past, where I made New Year's resolutions to not make any New Year's resolutions. I'll give you a minute to think about that. If you're confused, that's okay. So am I. I've been confused for years, and my wife will back me up on that. Anyway, this is the time of year for new beginnings. And this really meant a lot more for me back when I was in sales. See, I said goodbye to the corporate world at the end of 2017, but I spent the last 15 years of my working career in medical device sales. And every January 1 was the same. And anybody who's in sales can relate to this, because every January 1, every rep in the company went back to zero. $0 in sales. The rock is back at the bottom of the hill, and it's time to start pushing it up again. And this was either a bad or a good thing, depending on the kind of a year that you were having. If you're having a good year, maybe you wanted to stay on that role. But if you were having a particularly bad year, you couldn't wait for the year to be over. You couldn't wait to close the book on that chapter. You couldn't wait for that new beginning. Isn't that pretty much what life is like? When things are going well, you want to keep it going. You want to stay on that roll. You want to keep the positive energy flowing. But when things are maybe not going quite as well as you'd like, you get anxious for better times. You find yourself saying, let's start over. You look forward to a new beginning. So here's my question for each of us today. What kind of a year was 2018 for you? I want you to just think about it for a minute. What kind of a year was 2018 for you? Maybe 2018 was okay. Maybe it was good. Maybe it was even great. Things went well. You may have even stuck to your New Year's resolutions. Praise God. Praise God for His goodness. But maybe 2018 wasn't quite so good. Maybe it was actually pretty bad. Maybe you couldn't wait for 2018 to end, hoping that with a fresh start, 2019 would be better. You were looking forward to a new beginning. Well, this morning I want to share with you that regardless of this past year, and no matter where you are in life today, you can have a new beginning in Jesus Christ. Friends, the God of the universe is here today and is offering each one of us a new beginning. And it's not just because it's the end of the year. No, this new beginning is available to everyone all year long at any time because He is the God of new beginnings. So I want to look today at the book of Lamentations, and we're not going to read the entire book, although I encourage you to do that. But we're going to look at several verses throughout the book, and then we're going to focus in on chapter 3 verses 19 to 24. Now, I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version this morning because I just like that translation a little bit better. It'll still be easy to follow along in the NIV if you're looking at that, but and you may actually get some insight into why I prefer the ESV over the NIV in this situation, but stay with me, okay? So, unfortunately, Lamentations is an ignored and undervalued book. You may have even had a little trouble finding it in your Bible, maybe. It's in the Old Testament. It's between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And it's sad that it's neglected because it contains some great theology, which agrees with many of the other Old Testament prophets. Prophets like Moses, Joshua, Isaiah, and in particular Jeremiah, who many think is the author of this book, although we really don't know that for sure. It also has in it some beautiful prayers that confess sin and express hope. It really is beautifully written. It was probably meant to be prayed or sung in worship services. Now, we know that the Jerusalem temple was destroyed by the Babylonians in 587 BC. That is a fact of history. And the book of Lamentations describes the results of that event. So the opening chapter describes the devastation that Jerusalem has suffered. And this is an eyewitness account. This is written by someone who actually witnessed the destruction of the temple. In verse 1 of chapter 1, it starts out, it says, "How lonely sits the city." And it's interesting to note here that this Hebrew word for how, this Hebrew word eka, is actually an exclamation that was often used in funerals. So this is actually a funeral poem, or a funeral dirge, if you will, for Jerusalem. And then verse 2 says, "She weeps bitterly in the night because all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. All of their former allies have betrayed the nation of Israel, and the nation has been destroyed." And then in verse 5 of chapter 1, we come to what is the crux of the problem. Okay, it says, "Her foes have become the head, her enemies prosper, because the Lord has afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions." So Babylon has conquered Jerusalem because of the willful sin of the people. The writer goes on to say in verse 8, "Jerusalem has sinned grievously, therefore she has become filthy." See, the bottom line is that sin is the cause of this destruction. And after the destruction, there is lament. I mean, the book is called Lamentation, so there is lament. In verse 16, we read, "For these things I weep. My eyes flow with tears, for a comforter is far from me." So there's no one there for the nation of Israel at this point. All of the former friends and allies have deserted them. And interestingly, Jerusalem speaks up in verse 18, and they own up to their sin. It says in verse 18 of chapter 1, "The Lord is in the right, for I have rebelled against His word." They admit it. Verse 22 goes on to say, "You have dealt with me because of my transgressions, for my groans are many and my heart is faint." See, sin is the root cause of the destruction. And the writer continues then into chapter 2, verse 1, saying, "How," and there's that funeral word, eka, again, "how the Lord in His anger has set the daughter of Zion under a cloud." And he goes on throughout chapter 2 to really reiterate the totality of the judgment against Jerusalem. Chapter 2 says things like, in verse 2, "The Lord has swallowed up without mercy." Verse 3 says, "He has cut down in fierce anger." Verse 5 says, "The Lord has become like an enemy." It goes on to say, "He's laid waste. He's scorned. He has laid to ruins." You get the picture, right? Total judgment and devastation. And no one is exempt from this judgment. The writer makes it clear that part of the problem were the prophets. Verse 14 says, your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not exposed your iniquity to restore your fortunes, but have seen for you oracles that are false and misleading. See, the prophets at that time, they avoided the real issue. They didn't want to talk about the sin. They didn't want to, as it says, expose the iniquity. All they wanted to talk about was the fluffy stuff, the soft stuff, the prosperity and the safety and the peace. And it was false and it was misleading. The prophets were guilty for not preaching the truth. Friends, that is not going to happen here at Hope Church. We are going to preach the truth as it is found in the Word of God. And we are not going to sugarcoat it, and we are not going to apologize for it, because as it says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. The truth. So the prophets were guilty for sure for not preaching the truth. But you know what? The people were just as guilty. They were just as guilty because they weren't seeking the truth. They didn't exercise discernment. That discernment that we heard about last week, right? Mark talked about testing the spirits, testing what it is we're being taught, testing it against the Word to validate it as truth. That is our responsibility. And the nation of Israel didn't do that. They were listening only to what they wanted to hear. Then as chapter 2 comes to a close, the narrator challenges Jerusalem in verse 19 to arise, cry out in the night, lift your hands to Him. And now we come to the key passage in the book of Lamentations. This is where it really kind of all comes together. Chapter 3, verses 19 to 24. So let's break it down, okay? Verse 19 says, remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. And basically what this is it's a prayer to God that He would remember all that they've been through, that He would remember all of the trials and all of the bitterness. Because, it goes on to say in verse 20, my soul continually remembers it. Can we relate to that? Can we relate? Do we remember all that we've been through? Do we remember all of the trials and the bitterness? Yeah, absolutely. And it continues and it says, my soul is bowed down within me. And what the writer is saying here is that remembering and asking God to remember should cause us to bow down. We need to take that posture when asking the God of the universe to remember our state. And here's where we get into the really good stuff. It says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And when it says, this I call to mind, many commentaries believe that the writer is reflecting on Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. Listen to what that says. The Lord, a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And I'll be honest, when I consider that, when I call that to mind, I have hope. When I think about the nature of God as described in these passages, it gives me hope. And verse 22 continues and it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And isn't that such an incredible comfort? Doesn't that make you just kind of take a little bit of a deep breath and relax just a little bit? to know that even in the face of unfaithfulness, even with all of our imperfections and sin, His mercy never ends? Now, I know what some of you may be thinking. Some of you may be thinking, you have no idea how much sin I have in my past. You have no idea how much baggage I carry with me. There is no way that God could ever forgive me. Friend, let me tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. That is a lie, and that is a lie from the pit of hell. Make no mistake, listen to this. There is more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past. Do you hear that? There is more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past. God offers a new beginning to all who repent of their sins and turn to Him. His mercies never come to an end. And verse 23 tells us that His mercies are new every morning. We don't have to wait for the end of the year for a new beginning. We can have a new beginning each and every day. We can have a new beginning every moment. Great is His faithfulness, as it says at the end of verse 23. He is faithful to His promises and His covenants. He is God. That is His nature, and He will never change no matter what. And I love verse 24. Verse 24 says, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him." And this portion that he refers to here is an echo that we see in other places in the Old Testament. In Numbers 18:20, the Lord says, "I am your portion and your inheritance." And we see it in Psalm 73:26 as well. It says, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The Lord is our portion and inheritance. And because of that, we can have hope in Him. I'll get that. I'm just kidding. So what exactly does all of this have to do with us, right? I mean, how can something written almost 3,000 years ago to people we don't even know be relevant today? But it is. It is. It is relevant today because the God of the universe, the creator of the cosmos, is speaking to us today through His Word. He wants us to understand His nature, His mercy, and His grace. He is a God of love and faithfulness. He understands who we are. He understands our sin nature, our propensity to sin. He remembers our afflictions. He knows about all of the bitterness and the hardships in our lives. He loves us. We are His creation, and His steadfast love never ceases, even in our sin. He wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to return to Him. Like the nation of Israel, to lift up our hands to Him, to cry out in the night, "God, help me!" His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning because He is the God of new beginnings. And that new beginning for us is found in Jesus Christ. When He went to the cross, after having been brutally beaten and tortured, and He hung on that wretched tree for you and for me, He said, "It is finished." And what He was saying is basically this: your sins are forgiven, and by my sacrifice you are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." In Christ, we can have that new beginning that we so desperately need. and want. And as we start to kind of wrap this up and bring this to a close, I want us to think about three action items that all of us can implement in response to what God has said to us today. Three things that we can do because of what God has done for us. Number one, get honest. Let's get honest. Let's get real about sin. It's there. We know it. It's our nature. I know it's my nature. I struggle with sin daily. Am I the only one? Please tell me I'm not the only one. I'm as insecure as anybody, and I couldn't have that on my plate too. Sin is our nature. Let's not dance around the issue. Let's own it. Let's be like the Israelites and say, the Lord is in the right, for we have rebelled against His word. And as our culture and some churches, let's be honest, this is happening in churches too, but as our culture and some churches become more and more tolerant and more accepting of sinful behavior, and as these behaviors become more and more the norm, we have to stand up and say, no! Sin is sin. Even if we are convicting ourselves and our own behaviors. Because we need to get honest about sin and hold fast to the Word of God as the standard. We heard about that again last week as part of our teaching on spiritual warfare. We hold up all behavior to the Word to see if it passes the test. We need to get honest about sin. We need to get honest. We need to get down. When I say get down, I don't mean bust out a new dance move, because you would not want to see that from me. Okay? What I'm saying is get down on our knees. We need to get down on our knees. When was the last time you actually got down on your knees before the God of the universe and prayed to Him? When Jesus began His ministry, what's the first thing that He preached? What's the first thing that Jesus preached? Repentance, right? Repentance. We see it in Matthew 4:17. Jesus began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And repentance, this repentance that Jesus talks about, it's more than just feeling bad about what we've done, although that's certainly part of it. True repentance, friends, requires a change of attitude. A change of attitude. And that change of attitude will then impact our behaviors. We will then renounce sin and turn from sin toward God. A new beginning. Now, does that mean that we'll never sin again? Of course not. Of course not. But what it does mean is that we will sin less and less and become more and more like Christ. Where have we heard that before? Sounds a lot like that process of sanctification that we've talked about, right? Becoming more and more like Christ. So this repentance, I mean, you know, is it important? I mean, what's the big deal, right? Well, let me tell you how important it is. Friends, eternity hangs in the balance. After we leave this world, we will all live an eternity. And just as the nation of Israel faced destruction because of their sin, we too face the consequences of our sin. Romans 6:23 reminds us that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And that's the destruction that we can expect because of our sin. But Let's read all of Romans 6:23 because there is an option. It says that, yes, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, there it is. There's the gospel. That's why Jesus died on the cross, so we can spend eternity with Him. It is a free gift that we do not deserve and we cannot earn. And it is offered to everyone. So there's really only two options. The death that Paul talks about in Romans 6, which is an eternity in darkness, separated from the God who created you, or an eternal life spent in the presence and light and love of God. That's it. It's that simple. Heaven or hell, light or darkness, God or no God. But make no mistake, God loves you. And He wants you to spend eternity with Him. That's why He sent His Son. It's that free gift that Paul talks about in Christ. See, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. In John 14:6, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." We need to get honest about sin, and we need to get down on our knees and repent. And then we need to get serious. Let's get serious about living a life that brings honor and glory to God. See, God has a plan for each one of our lives. And it's the best plan. It's much better than trying to do it on your own. Friends, I tried to do it on my own for a lot of years. And all I found was darkness and loneliness. It took a lot of heartache and pain to come to the conclusion that what I really desired, what I really needed, what I was really searching for, was God. I needed to get honest, I needed to get down on my knees, and I needed to get serious about living the life that God wanted for me. Is it perfect? No. There's still struggles and challenges along the way. But it's a much better life, knowing that my eternity is sure. You know, in Ephesians 4:1, Paul says, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I urge all of us to strive through the power of the Holy Spirit to live a life that's worthy. Well, it's 2019. It's a new beginning. And in light of all that God has taught us today, let's start over. It doesn't matter what kind of year you had last year. It doesn't matter where you were, where you're at in your spiritual walk. We can all start over in Jesus Christ. If you've had a good year, or if you've given your life to Christ, if you're living into those new beginnings, if you're living into those mercies that are new every day, every moment, praise God. That's fantastic. But even if you have, there's still work to do, living into the life to which you're called. But maybe last year wasn't so good, or maybe you haven't made that commitment to Christ. I urge you, friend, do not leave here today without responding to God. He's here right now, and He's pursuing you. He loves you, and He cares about you, and wants to secure your eternity. See, God loves each and every one of us here. He loves each and every one in this world. He is a faithful God, and His mercy never ends. He is our hope and offers to all a fresh start in Jesus Christ because He is the God of new beginnings. I guarantee if you get honest, you get down, and you get serious, 2019 will be a better year than last. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to You and praise You, Lord. We thank You that You are a God of never-ending mercy, that You are a God who loves us, that You are a God who died for us, for our sins, Lord. And I know that the Spirit is in this room and the Spirit has been at work. And if there is anything that you need to say to God, anything that you need to talk to God about, I urge you to do it right now. You talk to God. You talk to God. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.